Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 156 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I are going to talk about our college football heartache from this past weekend. We're going to talk about some products that I've loved lately, some things that we've tried lately, and we're also going to have, once again, some significant sound issues. But here's the deal. You're going to hear towards the end of the episode that we actually figure out what the problem is. And based on our discovery, it's really no wonder that we've had some struggles lately. So, since we had to cut the episode a little bit short because our sound problems were significant, you're going to get to hear about 10 minutes of our most recent Patreon Closer Look episode. If you're already with us on Patreon, then we hope it's fun for you to listen to it again. If you're not with us on Patreon, we hope you enjoy hearing a little bit of what we're doing over there twice a month. So, if you'd like to find out more about our Patreon, you can do that at patreon.com/bigboo. And thank you so much for being here for episode 156. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And we're in what? We're in the seventh week of football season. Is that correct?
The seventh week or the 45th week.
Do you need to get your phone? Do you need to get your phone?
No, listen, I've got so many things going off on my phone telling me where I need to be and what's happening and what my schedule is. It's just, it's a lot. I'm totally stressed out.
So what was that alert?
That was, now I do need to check it because it may be that soccer practice is rained out. That's my teamer alert that lets me know everything that's going on with soccer.
Okay.
No, that is not, soccer is not rained out. This was not, no, it is totally fine. We are good to go. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Now everything, my phone is off. Good night.
I don't even edit it out anymore. Like when your phone dings, I just leave it in. I just like it just ba-ding. Okay. So you were.
It feels like it's the 51st week of college football season at this point. Like,
yes, it does.
It's never ending. And as you know, well, we both, I had an expected hard hit this weekend. We played Alabama. I wanted to be my best optimistic self. I didn't really feel good about it. You actually texted me before the game and said you had a good feeling about it.
I did.
But I appreciated.
Yeah. But what we learned from that is don't trust my good feelings.
No.
I did. I was strangely optimistic about y'all and the Alabama game. And here's what I want to say. Alabama is really good. Alabama can run a slant route like nobody.
Oh.
Listen. I mean, how they get those guys, they are so open. Their receivers are, open for miles in every direction. How they redirect and how they block like that, I do not know. It is magic, but they're really good. So as the game started to get away from y'all, it wasn't unexpected. Now, the outcome of the Mississippi State-Tennessee game, however, was somewhat of a surprise. I will say, when I looked at the score, I spoke at a church here Saturday morning, and we had the beloved 11 o'clock kickoff. And so when I looked at my phone after I finished speaking and I saw that the score was 7-0, Tennessee was up by 7 at the end of the first quarter, I thought, oh, we're going to lose this football game because we have not been able to score in the first quarter. And I would say this. I didn't understand, we started Tommy Stevens at quarterback, who is a fine quarterback, but Garrett Schrader is the one, I've said it before, who has proven himself to be a little bit of a spark plug for this team. I don't understand why you don't start him in that game.
So I don't think it's fair to put him in situations where he has to come back out in the second half and suddenly he has to lead a comeback. So I thought it was interesting that on Monday, Coach Moorhead announced that Garrett Schrader will start against LSU. So,
interesting. Okay.
And so that's who we've got this weekend. Alex and I actually decided today we're going to go because we have no hopes for that. I mean, there's always hope, but I mean, we're going like really realistic about what the game could be like, but it's just, it's one of the few weekends where it works for us to go. So, and you know, I love the LSU Tigers, and I will say this, the LSU Florida game, I found to be a delight and a joy.
Oh, it was the highlight of Saturday. It was majestic. LSU. I was like, I don't know why I love LSU like I do. I have really no reason to. I don't have any big ties to LSU, but it's like when they came on the field and the whole Death Valley thing, I thought, I am so intrigued and fascinated by this whole scenario. Like, I feel like LSU is a school. And listen, I know that people party in Louisiana. I know all the things. So don't at me with this. But for whatever reason, LSU is a school where I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't be sad if Caroline Schenkel ended up at LSU.
Right.
Now, she won't. But I'm just saying, when I think of a list of schools other than A&M that I wouldn't mind having to spend time at, LSU is on that list.
Right. Well, you know, we lived down there for, David lived down there for a while. I lived down there for a few years after we got married. And there is an enthusiasm and a, and this, listen, I was down there at the end of the Jerry DiNardo, beginning of Nick Saban era, but there is an enthusiasm for that school and a an enthusiasm for that team. There is a commitment to a festive game day environment that by nighttime might feel to some like an out of hand game day environment. I have said many times, I have watched people I've seen policemen pull people over fences in that stadium to escort them from the premises. So, but I don't know, the pure joy that LSU fans seem to derive from their team is contagious to me. I love the way they love their team.
Yes. I also really love the movie Everybody's All American. Remember with Dennis Quaid and Jessica Lange, which is fictional, but it is LSU. Everything was at LSU. So I don't know. That game was a highlight for me in what was, I will say about the A&M game. I mean, we kept it, it was respectable. We weren't blown out.
Right.
I feel like I have a lot of questions about our special teams. I didn't really understand what was going on and why we didn't just maybe start kicking the ball maybe out of the end zone instead of to somebody who could run it back 40 yards every time.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I have 0 years experience coaching football except from my couch. So, you know, what do I know? But that was just my take. What did make me the most sad is based on y'all's loss to Tennessee and our loss to Alabama, that now means that when we play each other in 2 weeks on October 26th, that we have the bottom dweller of TV times, which is the 11 a.m. kickoff.
Which means, honestly, like, I don't know. I think maybe if you want to watch, you may have to set an alarm, like really to get up and at them, but like to really be awake enough to watch. As we've discussed many times, you don't really wake up until after noon.
No.
And it's just I don't know. It's a sad, sad kickoff time. It really is.
It is. It's the most sad kickoff time. Well, and I'll tell you, because what I had kind of in my mind, so Caroline and I are actually going to visit A&M on that Friday before that game. We're going to go do like her official campus tour, whatever, which is so weird because she was just in kindergarten. But we're going to go do that tour and pretend like she's leaving for college in a year and a half. And so we're going to go do that. Well, then we're going to drive on to Dallas that evening because she has a soccer game in Dallas at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay.
So in my mind, I had thought if it was an evening game, we could stop back in College Station and go to the game that night. Well,
You cannot.
No, that game is going to long be over, and I'm going to be at the soccer fields during a large part of it, and y'all are going to be starting this Schrader kid as your quarterback, which probably means that y'all are going to end up beating us. And then we'll say, well, that year we lost to Clemson and Alabama and Georgia and LSU and Mississippi State after they changed their quarterback and had lost to Tennessee. It'll be the lowest of all low points. I'm just.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can.
So I was just taking a deep breath, anticipating all the gloom and doom that's on the way.
I so appreciate that. You know, my first stop after state loss to Tennessee, and by the way, and Emma Kate was texting me because she and her family were headed out of town, and she said, "Are you watching this?" And I said, "Oh, I'm at the nail salon." And she said she turned to her kids and said, "Y'all, you know it's bad for the Bulldogs when Sophie is gone to get her nails done during the state game."
That's it.
Listen, I had one of the worst manicures of my life on Saturday. It just felt right. And I don't know what the problem was. It's the place I always go, but it was a person that has never done my nails before. And she really nicked me, like really nicked me.
Ooh.
Three times on my hands and once on my toes.
Yikes.
And the fourth time she nicked me, I was kind of like, hey, that hurts, you know, but for some reason, it makes me so mad at myself, trying to keep it cheerful as she's cut me with a pair of scissors. Or a pair of clippers. And she proceeded to tell me that my cuticles were angled. Now listen.
Oh, what?
I know that there are some things about me that are strange. For example, I have unusually high arches.
I have unusually
small ear canals. We know these things about me, but for her to tell me my cuticles were angled and she kept coming back. But your cuticles are angled. And I finally said, the only people who cut my cuticles are y'all. So I don't know what to tell you, but if it's hard to cut them, then don't.
Yes.
So
please.
I was really frustrated. And so then she was trying so hard to redeem the visit. I could tell she was, because as a person who has battled people pleasing in my life, I know when you're trying to go above and beyond to try to make up for something.
Yes.
And so she says, I'll give you an extra long massage, which I'm sorry, that's not really what I'm looking for in that moment. Like, I don't really need an extra long massage. I don't really want the massage.
No.
But then I feel like I need to let her, whatever she's trying to do to make this up to me, I need to participate. And it was just awkward all the way around.
Yes. So, well, and you want to go, that massage isn't going to help when my cuticles are throbbing at night when I'm trying to sleep, right? Because that it hurts really worse later than it does even in the moment, I feel like.
It does. And so, I woke up Sunday morning going like, oh my word, my cuticles, they hurt so bad.
See?
It just throbs. And it's really just today stopped hurting. And so, anyway, so between that and the state game, I'm going to tell you, I was nobody's friend late Saturday afternoon. And it was only that LSU Florida game that really sort of pulled me back from a really negative place. But all that to say, when I'm in that kind of mood, and then when a game goes really south, as ours did, there's nowhere I want to be more than the message boards. You know, like I need the histrionics. I need. I'm here to tell you, there have never been more doom and gloom predictions about Mississippi State football than there were this past Saturday. And everybody rebounded after a couple of days. But in the moment, it was what I really needed. It's what I really needed.
You need people who will get down on your current level is what you need. Like, I want you to get in it with me. I want to see, does anybody else see the problem with our special teams? Does anybody else see the problem with our offensive line? I need to know. And then I love, because then you have some poor guy. There's always some poor sap who comes on there and he's like, hey, y'all, we need to remember that this is Jimbo's second year. And I'm like, dude, I want to tell you, this is about to be painful for you, because nobody wants to hear that right now. By Tuesday morning, you can give us the whole thing of like, this is Jimbo's second year. He needs to get his class in, yada, yada, yada. Nobody wants to hear that on Saturday during this game going south. What we want, everybody was wanting to gripe. We want to get it out. The sky is falling. This is the end of the world as we know it.
Right. And on the state boards, they call those guys sunshine pumpers. Like,
yeah, that's it. Well, Tech Sags too.
Don't come in here, sunshine pumper. Listen, because somebody was like, guys, I really don't like the way that we're talking about our coach. It's just, you know, it's just his second year. And God bless him. Coach Moore had made the mistake in his press conference on Monday. He said it just takes time to build something special, to which the message boards immediately blew up with, we had something really special when you came here. Like, it wasn't like Mullen left a horrible program. Mullen left a really good program. So I really do feel for the coach. I really do feel for the players. Nobody likes to lose. Nobody likes to get embarrassed. It's just unfortunately, it's also high profile now, and because the salaries are so big, the expectations are big too. So
that's it.
You know, because of course there's always somebody who wants to come in and say, well, if I was making, and listen, this is nowhere near Jimbo Fisher level, but there's always, if I was making $7.2 million a year, I think I could figure out how to beat Tennessee. There's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah. It takes time. And I think it's, and here's the, I'm going to bottom line it for you. Okay. Bottom line is Nick Saban ruined it for everybody.
He
ruined it for everybody because he was able to come in and build something incredible that really will never be duplicated again, I don't think, in college football in terms of dynasty. I mean, I think Dabo's the closest, but I still don't think you'll see him do what Saban's done. And so everybody has that level of expectation, and I just think Saban is I think he's a once in a lifetime coach.
Yeah. And we are watching Saban in a culture where there is nonstop information about what he's doing, where there is nonstop coverage of his program, where there is a nonstop Twitter feed and message board situation so that people can analyze it and pontificate about it all the time. And that's something Bear Bryant didn't have. He got written about in the newspapers, but he didn't have the kind of scrutiny that a Saban has and that Saban's methods have. So it's just a whole different day in terms of how these programs are covered.
Yeah. So, well, and a new young coach can't come in and be tough the way Nick Saban has been tough, because today's culture can't sustain that. They're like, well, he's mean, he's whatever. Whereas Saban has earned that because these kids know, I'll go, he's going to be incredibly hard on me, but I'm also going to be a first round NFL pick coming out of college.
Right. I'm going to get paid.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes it worth it. I'm going to get screamed at today, but it's going to be worth it in the long run. Mm-hmm. So, but one of my friends was telling me, what?
Oh, nothing. Oh, I was started too. But again, I think we've got that thing where I'm, okay, how about I reset it again and then it'll just upload what we've done so far. Let me reset it.
Check past. Now it's saying recording in progress. Okay. I still have a warning, but can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. All right. I can hear you.
Okay. So we were talking about Nick Saban.
I think I think there'll never be another coach like him. I think that he has earned his ability to be tough with his players. And I was going to say, I had a friend that was at the game on Saturday, and he said he was sitting behind the Alabama bench. And he said, really the MVP of the whole game is the guy that follows Saban around the entire game with like his water and knows like to duck when Saban's like spinning around and all that stuff. He said it was like watching a ballet. He said it was masterful.
I love that.
So he's like, that's the job to get right there.
Yeah. I think you don't get guys who have really kind of come up through the ranks like he has as much, because the guys don't get that many opportunities. So he really built a career very gradually and had plenty of time every place he went to kind of figure out his deal. And I think now we're so impatient with coaches because of Saban, ironically, I think we're so impatient that people don't kind of get to cultivate their style and the culture of their program, maybe like they would if they knew going in, okay, you've got 7 years.
Yeah.
You have 7 years to build something. Now you have two.
Yeah.
You may get three, but if after three you haven't figured it out, you're probably going to have to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. You're done. You know who I'm keeping my eye on, and not because I necessarily like this person, but I'm going to tell you that Will Muschamp. I'm going to say that South Carolina victory, it will be interesting to see where this team goes
now that that has happened, if that was the beginning right. of them finding an identity, because he is a younger coach that has had time to kind of build up. Now, I know his time ran out at Florida, but he's a good enough coach and people see enough in him that he got that South Carolina job. And so I think it's going to be real interesting to see the trajectory of where he goes now.
I do too. I do too. That was something else. And I was sad for our Georgia friends. I was sad for yes. Jake Fromm. But yeah. But still, that kind of upset, especially at home for Georgia.
Yes.
You're not looking for that at all.
No, that was stunning. That was the stunner of the day. I mean, that was really like, I couldn't believe that happened. And it was so crazy the way it happened, because when South Carolina missed that field goal and Georgia had the second opportunity, you're like, oh, this is going to be uh-huh. it. And then when I just couldn't believe it, it was just shocking.
Poor field goal kickers. I mean, they really do. It's just, it's the highest of highs and the lowest of lows.
It really is. And I still don't, I mean, I get that it's a lot, but I'm like, I don't know why more of these coaches, and maybe I say this as a soccer mom, but I'm going to say, go out to your intramural fields and find yourself some soccer players who have spent a lifetime getting the ball in between these two marks. I don't know. It just feels like that would be a good backup to have on your staff.
I agree. I think you're so right about that. I agree.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so last night, as you know, I am a consumer of newspapers. You know, how I like to read a newspaper. Now, I'm gonna reference something that is adjacent to politics, but I'm not talking about it in any political context whatsoever.
Okay,
I want to be clear about that. I want to share this because when I saw it last night, I wanted to text you so bad, but it was too late.
Okay, never too late.
Well, I didn't know, and so what I did instead was I sent myself an email so I would remember to mention it, because it was just one of those things. It just struck me for some reason as so funny and absurd that I couldn't wait to tell you about it. Okay, so okay. Again, this is not political at all, even though it's related to politics. Okay, so as you know, there has been some discussion the last couple of weeks about dealings in Ukraine. I think probably yes. everybody has seen that. And sort of at the heart of that is Rudy Giuliani, who, listen, Rudy, I mean, he's a character, right?
Yes, yes.
And so I don't know why, but last night I was doing my sort of end of night. I like to read a paper just because it helps me to know what's going on, but without the intensity maybe of watching the news. Are you there? Hello? Hello?
Oh, okay. So we can use that first part, right?
The very first part we did.
Yeah.
And I think it got the part, I think, up to you talking about Saban. Like it got, well, the second time we recorded, it got that part. We just didn't get what I started talking about the other.
Okay. 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 So you can tell your story again.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my story. And I cannot tell you why this delighted me, Sam. I really can't, except maybe it's just the news has been so crazy. And yes. this was just like a moment of sort of absurd. I don't know why yes. it tickled me so much. But all right. So every night, as you know, I like to read a newspaper. It helps me. Like I just,
yes.
it's a slower processing thing. It helps me kind of stay in the loop with what's going on, which is important to me. But it's nobody's arguing in a newspaper.
Like, yes.
nobody's screaming yes. at each other. They haven't brought in somebody who has a differing opinion so that they can get yelled at by all the other guests.
Yeah.
So I like to read a newspaper. So as we all know, there's been some stuff going on with Ukraine, right?
Yes.
It's been a little volatile. It's
about that.
What now?
Yes.
What'd you say?
I said, I've heard something about that.
Okay, good. Okay. So, well done. And so, so at the kind of the center of this thing is Rudy Giuliani. And was he, this is, I'm giving it a political context, but we're not about to talk about our political opinions. Please, everyone know that. So kind of at the heart of this thing is, was he running like a shadow operation in Ukraine? Which if he were, that would be a really big deal. And then that would, you know, and that's kind of what they're trying to get to the bottom of now, is who knew what. And they're interviewing all these State Department people and former ambassador, whatever. So last night, there's a story in the Washington Post where they interviewed Rudy Giuliani, but apparently they were interviewing him via text message. And so they're asking him all these really heavy, serious questions about whether or not he pushed, I can't think it was earlier in the year, to have this Turkish cleric removed from the United States. And so they're asking him about that, and he denies it. And so this is an actual sentence in the report. It says, when told that multiple people described the conversations to the Post, Giuliani responded, "Bull," and then liked the question with a thumbs up emoji. Now, but hold on. He was not done. And then there was another sentence where it says, when asked via text if he recalled the conversation, Giuliani responded by liking the question with a thumbs up emoji. Now, for some reason, this is a guy whose whole career and reputation are at stake. And he feels that emojis are adequate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you always say that emojis are America's emotional currency when it comes to communication.
Yes. Yes.
And I think Rudy Giuliani would buy into that. Like, the fact that you're talking to a reporter about something that has,
yes,
has enormous implications for the country, and you're going to give it a bull and a thumbs up emoji. Like, okay, you do you, Rudy. Like, I just, for some reason, I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
This is how we're conducting our communication these days at the highest levels of our federal government. Like,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like if my future was at stake, and like my integrity and my character and my reputation, I would be like, you know what? I don't really want to conduct that over text. Like,
I
want to have a recorded conversation.
Right. Maybe with a lawyer present.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I would want to choose my words so carefully and communicate so carefully. So the bull with the thumbs up emoji, I was like, well, listen, America, that's where we are. That's where we are. Like, we want to do everything quicker and faster and more efficient. And if that's an interview with a reporter trying to get to the bottom of an international, I don't know what you would call it. It's not really an incident, but an issue of international interest. Well, then have at it. Have at it.
Yeah. We're just going to text back and forth. That to me would be like the equivalent of like going to like marital counseling and like putting all your feelings out there and having somebody just respond with K, you know, like K, K, thanks. K, thanks.
You know, that is my, like, there are a few things, and I know I'm a person who doesn't always know what to do with my anger, but there are a few things that make me as angry as a K.
It's the most passive aggressive and really just flat out aggressive of all the texts. Like, don't give me a K. That feels like you might as well, I'm gonna send me an emoji with the middle finger, because it's the same thing at that point. That's how it feels to me. Okay. No, I need some emojis.
Listen, I'm going to tell you today, this very day, I made a little to-do list for Alex for some things that he needs to get done around the house. This is part of a whole other thing, but like, because of football, you know, that dominates a lot of his schedule, but if he would like to earn some money, then there are some things that he can do that we might pay to have someone do, or that David and I might do, but he can make some money if he'll get those things done. So I make a list of those things today, just so he has a list he can pull from if he has an extra hour or 2 hours or whatever, and wants to knock some stuff out. So so I make the list. I just make it as a note in on my phone, and I share the note with Alex and David. And then Alex responds and says, would you mind just sending me a screenshot of that? Because it's like 4 steps for me to open. I've got to get to the iPhone. And I'm here to tell you, I wrote it. I was like, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
I appreciate those 22 seconds are precious to you, but just go ahead. Just go ahead and get that verification code and go ahead and open that on up if you don't mind. And then you can screenshot it yourself. And that way you always have it in your photos.
Yes, yes, yes. So, yeah, that's right.
God,
but that's four steps is hard. That
four
is hard.
Steps is hard.
It's so hard. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, so the next time I have to have a difficult conversation, I'm just going to ask if somebody will just text me, and I'm just going to give that thing a thumbs up emoji. I'm going to move on.
Yeah, yeah. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Either way, just whichever way you're feeling, but that's adequate. So
I think so too. Hey, everybody. It's Sophie here because I want to tell you about Care Of. Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. Y'all, this is the neatest thing. They have this online quiz that lets you know exactly what you need. The online quiz asks you about your diet and your health goals and your lifestyle choices, and it only takes 5 minutes to find out your personal, scientifically backed vitamin and supplement recommendations. It can be really hard to know what vitamins or supplements you should be taking, but Care Of makes it easy to find out what you specifically need to be your healthiest self. Y'all, I find it so overwhelming sometimes to deal with things like vitamins and supplements. And what I love about Care Of is that they're delivered to your door in these really handy individual packets, and you just pull them off and you can, going out of town, you can pull two at a time or five at a time, but you don't have to take bottles everywhere. You can stick the packets in your purse. It just makes it so much more convenient to take care of yourself through vitamins and supplements. Y'all, 90% of people fall short of FDA recommended guidelines for at least one vitamin or nutrient. So find out where you're lacking with Care Of's online quiz and get back on track to reaching your health goals. So take advantage of this month's special New Year offer for 50% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. You go to takecareof.com and enter the promo code BIGBOO50. BIGBOO50 for 50% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. Go to takecareof.com and enter the promo code BIGBOO50.
Well, we don't have, what did we do this weekend? We watched football, as we've discussed. We had soccer, which was good. The weather was nice, thankfully. We had a little bit of a cool front, which was made it so much better. And then I thought it was off. It's because Caroline's texted me, and she's never turned off. She's always, I know. Oh, goodness gracious. So anyway, we, that's so. Car. This is my life right now. I'm managing 74 things at once.
I just like the we, so that's we, so.
Yeah. So. So. Do, re, me. So. Oh, goodness. So we did that. I'm trying to think. Saturday, we really did nothing. We watched football. We came home from soccer. We watched football all day. We hung out. Now, Sunday night, Perry was gone because season has begun. And so he was gone Sunday night. And I watched on Amazon the late night movie, Mindy Kaling's late night movie with Emma Thompson.
I want to watch that. I've pulled it up so many times and just have never started it.
It was so good. I loved it. It was just a delightful little movie. I love Mindy Kaling. I think she's so witty and funny, and her writing is so good. And it was just a great story. I really liked the whole thing. I thought it was very endearing and heartwarming, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait.
Yeah, I give it two thumbs up. Give it two thumbs up. If I texted you about it, I'd give you two thumbs up about it.
That's right. And you would say no bull.
That's right.
Two thumbs
That's
up.
Right. Yeah, it's really good. It's worth watching. So I was glad, because I'd wanted to see it when it was in the theaters and then just never did. And so I was glad to get to watch it the other day. And it was, I really liked it. And then I think I had mentioned this. I can't remember. It might have been on our Patreon episode, but I have started rewatching Downton Abbey.
Yes, you did mention that there was stuff you had missed the first time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm enjoying
stuff you've forgotten at least.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's how I spent the rest of my weekend.
Well, I went to Mississippi on Sunday because my sister was speaking in Hattiesburg on Monday at a thing. And so I went down and went to a little reception on Sunday night and then went to that luncheon on Monday and then came back here and drove straight in for JV football game. And I'm telling you, like, the two football games a week is something else. I mean, I know you have soccer every weekend, but just...
Yeah, but that's a lot.
It's just the every Monday, every Friday. And so, anyway, so it was a pretty low-key fall break for us just because there was lots of stuff going on. And so we were just kind of around here doing this and that. I'd said I was not going to buy any clothes for the rest of the year. But I have kind of broken my promise to myself.
Hello. It's like I'm in an aquarium. It's like,
what happened?
Like I'm deep sea diving. I don't know. It cut out for a minute, but I lost you at, you said you weren't going to, and then I cut out.
Okay. I'll start over. Golly, this is just a handle.
I know.
It's awful. Okay. So I said I was not going to buy any more clothes this year. Remember I said I was going to, mm-hmm. But then like the news happened and I don't know. I needed a diversion. I was going to have to move to Washington and become some sort of political correspondent, or I needed to stay here and get some sweaters. So yeah. I've decided to stay here and I ordered one of the pretty garden sweaters that you mentioned, I think, on our Patreon. Yeah. So it's supposed to come in tomorrow. I'm super excited about it. It looks so, I don't know, fun and snuggly. I can't wait to get it. So I'm excited about that. And I have a new color lipstick that I like a lot.
Do tell.
And I think it would work for lots of different like skin tones. But I actually, Annie Downs had it on in one of her Insta stories one day, a few weeks ago. And so I asked her, I was like, what color lipstick is that? And when she wrote me back, she said her answer just said Queen Bare Minerals. And I thought she was calling me Queen. And so for a minute I was like, well, Annie just called me Queen. Nobody's ever called me Queen. That was like she was saying, Queen, it's Bare Minerals. No, it's the shade is Queen. And but it's Bare Minerals, Gin Nude, Radiant Lipstick in Queen. Okay. The only thing I don't like about it is it doesn't stay on like super long. It's more of kind of a, it's not a lip stain, but it's just not a super hyper pigmented lipstick. It's a great color for a little while. But it's a really pretty, like, deep plum. I like it with a lot of brown in it. So
okay. That's a color I like. I like that kind of Queen. I may try it.
Yeah. Yes, Queen.
Yes.
Yes, Queen. So anyway, but I really like it. And I like the consistency of it. And it's not, I can't stand it if lipstick has a smell or a taste. And it has neither. So anyway, so that's just a little suggestion. And it's not super expensive if somebody just wants a good fall color.
Okay.
And I also wanted to just relay and confirm, since we got back from Amarillo and I ordered the Relaval, however you say it, the makeup bag,
yes, the tote, the makeup train case.
The train case is fantastic.
Right? It's a game changer.
It's so good. And I didn't know that I would like having all the little compartments, which you can move the compartments. You can change like the spacing. You can pick up those little pieces and move it around to configure it like you need it. But I have traveled with it a couple of times since we got back from Amarillo, and everything stays put. Nothing's rumbling around in your bag. Nothing is, I mean, it's in there. And so I love the brushes having the separate storage area. It is fantastic. Yep. That was quite a find. I don't know who found it, if it was you or Jamie or somebody else, but it's fantastic.
I think I, well, I don't know. I didn't find it through Jamie. I can't remember. I found it through somebody. I can't remember. And then Jamie and I realized we had the same one. I think to me, I love everything about it, but to me to have those brushes in that separate compartment at the top, I felt like I was spending hours of my life digging through my makeup bag looking for the right brush. And now that I have them just all right there, it's like I can find, it's made me want to get some new makeup brushes because I'm like, now I have a place to put them where they stay. Yes. And I can find them and I can have a brush that goes with whatever product I'm putting on without having to dig.
I also keep my eyeliners up there because that was the other thing I was digging around for all the time because I would get eyeshadow brushes confused with eyeliners when I was digging, trying to find it. And so I keep my eyeliner up in that little compartment. But knowing exactly where the brushes are is I can't tell you how much it's meant to me. I didn't even know that it was something that bothered me.
Yeah, I know. And then all of a sudden you're like, this is such a, cause see, I do the same. I keep my eyeliners, my eyebrow pencil and my lip liner, all my pencils for various things are up there too. So I can easily find those. I just think it's such a better system and it's made me want to keep it organized cause I can actually tell, like I can put everything back immediately where it goes in its little compartment. So
yes.
Yeah. It's been a game changer for sure.
Maybe you need one of those for the scissors.
Well, I probably do because we know I don't put them back.
I don't know. I just think it's really helped. I don't know. It's helped me to have something that's that structured. Are you there? Oh, my word.
Hello. Hello. Yeah. Okay. I think we call this one. I think we're good because we had time, right? And now we've been talking 15 minutes. I think sometimes you just have to say this is as good as it gets.
The last few times we've recorded, honestly, like we've had five interruptions because of the sound.
Yeah,
like five times where it's just
it's just maddening. And I really do think it's all my internet. And I know I'm going to need to call AT&T. I know that I do. I need to be a grown up and I need to do that tomorrow.
Let me ask you this. Do you have the highest speed internet possible?
We're supposed to. We pay for that. Do we have it? No, clearly we don't.
Have you done a speedtest.net to see what your upload and download speeds are?
That was the thing. You can do a speedtest.net. Yeah.
So you can go to speedtest.net and it will tell you what your upload. You could probably do it right now. This actually might be entertaining. Go to speedtest.net and it will run a test for you. It will tell you what your upload speeds are and what your download speeds are. And I'm going to wait on the edge of my seat for the results.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Hold on. Speedtest.net. Mm-hmm. Go. It's going. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be good.
And then we'll compare. How about that?
Okay. It's still saying go. Is it bad if the speed test can't even immediately tell you?
Let's see. Okay. Mine's connecting.
Oh, wait. Maybe I have to push go. Oh, I have to push go. Yeah. That's okay.
It should. I think it'll do your download first and then your upload.
Okay. It's doing ping. What is that? What does ping mean?
I don't know what ping means. What's it say where it says down?
I'm at 5.38 for download. What am I supposed to be, like at 155 or something?
No, you should probably be somewhere around 30. And what's your upload?
No, 4.64.
Oh, yes, ma'am. We got to get that worked out.
Well, that's the problem.
You've got it's like you're dealing with some dial up. Is what you've got.
Okay.
But here's what I would do. I would screenshot that so that when they come to your house and they say no, it's fine, you can say no, it's not.
Oh, I'm screenshotting that right now. I'm so mad. I'm going to get on chat with them after this, which probably won't work because my internet's so slow. I probably won't even be able to chat with them.
Deborah, could you call me?
I'm over here. Oh, Karen, I'm over here living like the Flintstones. What is happening?
But I will say, we had a thing where ours got real slow back in the summer. And you know, David Hudson was all over that. He lives for that kind. That's his calling.
All right. Well, I don't know. I'm not happy. I am not happy at all about this. It's telling me AT&T internet, and it's almost like it's given me like maybe a frowny face. And then like next to it is like Sprint, which I don't know why Sprint would even be in it on this equation. I don't know what's happening.
You know what I can do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to add some of our Patreon episode to the end of this so that our friends who are not with us on Patreon can hear a little bit about what's going on over there. And I'll put some of our recent Closer Look episode. I'll tag that onto the end so that everybody's got a little something more to listen to. And then we will hopefully be back with incredible internet speeds, upload and download, and next week, and it's going to be a redemptive day.
Yes, it will. And here's the whole thing. Here's what tomorrow is going to tell for me, because I just want y'all to know.
Okay.
I have to go to the DPS office to get my driver's license renewed. So while I am doing that most grown up of tasks, I will also call AT&T. Tomorrow will just be a day that I will take all those grown up hits.
And I wonder, could you not, on the chat thing today, just say, like, I need somebody to come to my house tomorrow?
Yeah, maybe I will. Yeah, I'm going to try that. They may not be able to get my chat because it's going to be like I'm, like, sending smoke signals. It's like I'm trying to, ding, 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 ding. It's like Morse code. Bam,
bam, two cans bam. And a string. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's like we're playing the old telephone game. They're saying she has problems with her totem. No, it's my modem. They're saying that tonight she's going to watch something on TV. No, what I said is AT&T is dead to me. That's what I said.
Oh, bless it.
Mm. Okay.
You know what? No, you can ask him. You can text. You can follow Rudy Giuliani's lead. You can text.
That's right.
And whatever they say, you can say bull and give it a thumbs up emoji. There you
That's
go.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever. So, okay.
All right. Well, y'all just stay tuned because you're going to hear about 10 minutes of our most recent Closer Look episode. And if you've already heard it, well, I'm sorry. Just I'll try
you
to find
to hear it again.
Yeah. Or you can just stop listening when the theme music starts to play. And you'll get your Q&A really soon on Patreon. So you'll have something new, plus a new episode next week.
That's right. It'll all be fine, Janice. Just settle down.
It'll all be fine, everybody. It'll all be fine.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we will talk to y'all later.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Okay. So our next category is favorite candle for the fall. And I know we both have some strong opinions on our candles or about our candles. So
we do.
Yeah. And I have a kind of a two-pronged approach to fall and my candles.
Okay.
I will explain. So at this point in fall, what I want from a candle more than anything is I want some citrus. I want it to be heavier than a summer citrus. So I want something that hints of holiday. Like I just want it to hint of the holiday. So my very favorite candle for this purpose is the Voluspa, the Goji Turaco orange candle, which is goji berry mango, which sounds summery, but that orange in it to me is probably the strongest smell. And it just, there's something about it that feels like fall. It feels like crispy leaves, and I don't know, I love it so much. I have been burning those nonstop in my house the last 2 days. And then I'll go from that into more of a Christmas smell, probably first of November. I start to want my things that smell more cedary and all those delicious kind of holiday smells. But right now, I like my Goji Turaco Orange. It is fantastic.
Okay. That is one of my perennial favorites, is that one. And I actually burn that. I like it in the summer too. Because I probably like that. I think I've talked about this, which it's my cross to bear, but as much as I love the way the volcano candles smell, they really do something to my allergies and I get really congested when I start to burn one. So I love the way it smells, but I can't tolerate it for long. So, it's terrible. What I really love in a candle is, and my very favorite one is by Pickwick and Company is the brand. It's a small little company, but their leather, tobacco, and woods candle.
Yes.
Is everything to me. Mm-hmm. I think I would want to live in like a pipe shop. Like I love that tobacco-y like smell. And I think it's because my grandfather always smoked a pipe. It's like such a comforting smell to me, like that just a little bit sweetness of the tobacco, but then you mix it with the leather and the woods. It's like, it's to me, it's the perfect candle. So I love that one. Is that, my favorite.
That makes me think that maybe to harken back to our 70s childhoods, we might also enjoy a candle that smells a little bit like Marlboro Red.
I would. It's a comforting scent.
Something that smells like coffee and coffee grounds and Marlboro Reds. I probably would honestly be drawn to, like a moth to flame.
Yeah. If you could also combine it, if it could also smell like a new deck of cards right out of the box. is really.
Listen, these kids these days, they don't know what they missed. They don't know what they missed trapped in grown women's sedans with the cigarette smoke. They don't have any idea.
No, it was a whole new day. It was a whole new
experience.
Time.
It really was.
Yeah.
You like super masculine. You really like masculine smells a lot.
I do. I like anything because my other that I love, which isn't a candle, and I need to order some of their candles and I just haven't, is Redwood & Company has this Base Camp, that spray, that room spray.
Yes.
And it, to me, is that same type of really masculine, almost be like a men's cologne type smell. Like, I love that. And then my newest one that I just discovered because I bought it at Nordstrom Rack has them right now, are all the Nest candles.
Yes. They've got them at Rack.
And the Moroccan Amber is so good. But it's same. It's got that. It's just, I like a fruitier smell sometimes in the summer, but I really like anything that's leatherish or tobacco-ish for the fall.
I smelled that Moroccan Amber candle the other day in Nordstrom Rack, and it was it had a little something in it that I thought, ooh, I don't know if I would like this. And it was not vanilla, but there's something in there that was a little sweet to me. I don't know what it was. And that's always sort of the tension with those, is I always will buy a candle that's like, you know, called Leather Chair or something, but there's something, if it smells too sweet, I can't do it. But I think you've encouraged me to go this afternoon and to look for maybe something with just a hint of teak wood or something in it, to see if I don't know. I would love something that smelled like orange and teak wood. I would love those two things together. But because I love the smell of orange. I don't think I have a second. Maybe I'll find something new because I don't think I have a second kind of go-to for this time of year. I need to broaden my horizons with the candles.
Well, I'm sitting here, so I just looked on Amazon and see, now I'm intrigued because there's a candle and I really am. I think I'm about to order it. There's a candle by Northern Lights that's the whiskey and tobacco spirit candle. And I'm like, I think if anything feels like that could be my love language, it's whiskey and tobacco together. It would just smell like a straight up Willie Nelson concert.
Well, it might have to have a little something else in it to smell like a Willie Nelson concert. That might be something you'd find in your local CBD shop. I'm just saying.
It'd be like, I leave the Schenkel house feeling so happy. I just feel so happy.
Just, I was so tense when I got there. I'm just not anymore.
Oh, but whiskey and tobacco spirit candle is intriguing.
That is intriguing. That sounds like something that David would like. By the way, we just heard back from the people at Zencastr. pretty quickly. And she said, you'll be so happy to know this. She said,
what?
She said, I'm so sorry you're seeing this error. We released an update last weekend that seems to have introduced this bug for some of our users. I don't have an exact timeline, but we are working to resolve this issue as quickly as possible. So it's not your internet.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'm so happy to know that. I still need to call AT&T, but I am glad to know that it's not just me.
Now, what browser are you on when you record?
On Chrome.
Okay. Well, I'm on Chrome too. That's weird. She said you can try to use a different browser to record. But like, if I don't know if we what we would try, but anyway, just know that they're on it. She said
because I'm on Chrome because when I used to, like, it won't, Zencastr will not work on Safari.
Okay.
So you have to do Chrome.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. One more thing about this candle, the whiskey and tobacco candle. I just have to laugh because I'm sitting here really trying to decide if I want to order it, and somebody said, I'm 34 and my girlfriend says this candle smells like liver failure and lung cancer, but I think that she loves it. It is like a Willie Nelson concert.
It is. It is.
Oh, goodness. Okay.